Welcome, this is Seedlings at Bit by Bit, January 6, 2011. We're back from vacation. It's a brand new year. We've got a great show tonight, and thanks to everybody joining us live and in the future as a podcast. Bob Sprankle down in South Berwick, Maine. I'm going to shoot it up the coast.
And this is Cheryl Oakes in Wells, Maine. And we're just going to say Alice Barr in Kennebunkport is unable to be with us tonight. She has a previous engagement and we let her off the hook. So I'm going to send it out to Oklahoma.
Oh, we're pointing at each other. Well, this is Wes Fryer in Oklahoma and
Sarah Fryer in Oklahoma.
And we'll throw it back to Moose Jaw.
Up here in Canada, it's Dean Shoresky. And I'm sorry, Charles, I missed where you were, but I'll send it to you anyway.
Great. Hi, this is Charles Spiro, and I'm in South Berwick, Maine.
He's right down the road from me,
okay,
Dean.
So we just went back in a circle there.
Yeah, that was nice. That was very nice.
That was a good call, Charles.
So
you're right.
The topic, wow, this is great. This is so many guests. The topic tonight is 365, meaning 365 images, and possibly we'll talk about other 365s. But kind of the idea is everybody present tonight is involved in a photo a day or some other type of venue of posting daily. And being that New Year's just happened, a lot of people have just started their 365. It seems that New Year's is a good day to start because then you remember when the year's up. I started kind of haphazard. Any day, I started a day in October and I realized that was not smart. So I waited till my birthday in October so I can watch the anniversaries. But we're going to talk about why people do it. Well, we've gotten from it. Hopefully encourage people to join. You don't have to start on January 1st, so you could start tonight even. And I've got to give it up to Dean Shoresky, who's my mentor in this, because I had never even heard of such a thing until Dean wrote about it. And Dean, you've been doing it since what, 2009?
2008. So okay. I'm in about day 1,000 and wow. Whatever. 90 or something of doing this every day.
So Dean, maybe you can start us off and explain it and how you got into it or who you heard it from, and just describe it to people that may not, to some people this is a new idea.
Yeah, so I mean it sort of begins, and I guess from a couple of different angles. I started I had a Flickr account for I had a pro Flickr account for at least I don't know since 2006 or 7, sometime in there. And so one of the people that I followed who's both a blogger and an avid photographer is Darcy Norman from Calgary. And Darcy is a photo photographer extraordinaire. I mean, he does all the real high-end stuff and can speak very quickly in a language I don't understand. But I think the part that caught me, even though I knew sort of he was doing this, was at the end of the year he put his videos from 2000 or his photos from 2007 into a short video. And so, and it was interesting as I watched this video, and I mean, Darcy's just someone, one of many people that I know, right? But I, as I'm watching through his photos, I'm saying, oh yeah, I kind of remember when he posted a certain photo, and I just got this real sense of what his life was like, because there was this sort of mix of some personal stuff, a little bit of his kid, and lots of other kinds of things that he was interested in, and it gave you this really kind of neat picture of that was my life this year. And so I really felt like that was something that wouldn't be too big of a stretch for me, since I was taking a fair number of photos anyways. I just wasn't necessarily taking one every day. And so myself and Alec Koros, who just lives down the road from me, and a few other people said, yeah, let's give this a try. This was, again, 3 years ago. And it's just been a very important and interesting part of my life, both professionally and personally. I could say more.
Please do.
Well, I mean, I guess there's just a couple of things that I think about as I go through this, and as I watch other people sort of go into it. So the interesting part of this was it didn't really have much of an impact on my family year one until the end of the year, when I compiled my first year into a video and we sat down as a family and watched this.
Wow.
And it was pretty amazing. You know, they all sort of laughed, and I'm saying, come here, everybody gather around, you got to watch this. And it was like, oh, Dad, you know, this is a boring you know, who wants to watch this? But they were riveted. And riveted because, for the most part, other than I get too many complaints each year that there's too many golf photos in there. Which, what I always say to them, do your own project there.
Right.
I do what I like. Anyways, other than that, you know, they really took to it. And then the second year I did it, the video, I used my daughter has recorded some music and stuff, and I used her music to it, so that really sort of added that other flavor of it. And then this year, of course, I did the most stupidest thing you could believe for 2010, was trying to attach a song to every photo that I took, and which, let me tell you,
oh.
Wow, that was a dumb thing to do. But anyways, again, the interesting thing about that is at the end, my other daughter said, Dad, that was so awesome, and who really wasn't sort of paying attention to this. We got her camera for Christmas, and she says, I'm going to do this too. And she's trying to think of a way, because she really liked the concept of the song thing. She's just, at this point, trying to wrap her head around how she's going to do it. But I mean, what's interesting for me is, as I look at people like Bob in particular, who, you know, Bob, your approach to it is, I mean, you take really, really good photographs.
Well, thank
you. And that's what I know you have another, you know, you have a fairly nice camera that you also take a lot of your photos with. And I think what I find fascinating is this mix of how people approach this. Like, for example, Alan Levine, who's another one of people that has taken this up and I follow fairly closely, he pretty much relies on the daily shoot as his inspiration. Which I sort of do occasionally, but my purpose is much more in sort of documenting the personal side of our lives. And so I'm more apt, I'll take, you know, it was interesting, a few times I'd have conversations because I'd take a really good photo, but it was a photo of, you know, whatever, landscape. And then I took a kind of a bad photo, but it was a photo of a moment that happened in our family that had a story behind it. And I'd always choose that photo as my photo of the day, as opposed to the better posed picture, because it didn't have a personal connection to me. So that's totally my own approach to it. I know not everybody sort of does it that way. Anyways, I've talked long enough.
Well, I got a couple questions. First off, I just put the daily shoot address in there. And can you explain that? That's like a daily assignment?
Yeah, and it seemed, and anybody can sort of submit to this daily daily shoot. So it's just sort of, it's a really good thing to have in the holster, because what happened in those first 2 years, especially, you run out of ideas. And so you realize it's 11:30 at night. I haven't taken a picture. So I take a picture of, you know, my socks or whatever, some dumb thing. And those are the ones, you know, that end up being on there, and you're almost embarrassed to say, well, I couldn't think of anything else, you know? So the daily shoot provides you with some information. I know inspiration. I know, for example, Alan Levine, he likes to get that picture done early in the day. So he does it kind of right off the bat. So it's out of the way. It's not something he has to think about later on. But I like to have it there, because if it is, you know, I do kind of subscribe to it and know what's going on and enjoy it. Now, The other interesting thing with the Daily Shoot is my wife used it. She teaches eighth grade, and she used it in a practical and applied arts course. So she focused largely on the use of the Daily Shoot as an assignment for students, and they quite, I mean, it was you know, it almost is sort of a curriculum in and of itself. So it was really kind of a neat thing that she did with that.
And then my last clarifying question is, you put a song to every single photo. So did you put the whole song to 365 photos? And how many days did this take to watch?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So I'm going to drop a link into my wife's, a few of the samples from my wife's project here. I thought great. I'd give her a plug. Whoops, I'm having trouble pacing it. So what I would do is sort of take this, take a picture, and then sometimes it would come very naturally. Other times it was just not coming to me. And so I'd find, you know, I'd think of a lyric or a song title.
Oh, okay. And then, got it.
Generally speaking, I looked at probably about half of the songs I used were already in my iTunes library. The other half, I'm claiming this under fair use. I just clipped the portion of that song that had sort of the key idea. And so my year-end videos, first 2 years, were around 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking they were, I mean, a range of 3 to 6 seconds. Well, maybe there were some more. Maybe 3 to 8 seconds per song with an average. I don't know if that works out to 5 seconds per song or for photo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With the 365, it was 45 minutes. So you're probably about 7 seconds per song. And so I just clipped those portions, strung it together. It's quite a barrage of sound as you're, you know, sort of going. And I really struggled. In fact, I made a mock. My plan was to do a month at a time, so I wouldn't have this dump at the end of the year.
But
I did the first 3 months, and then it kind of fell flat. And then I 9 months here over the Christmas holidays.
Right.
But the first time I tried it, I didn't use any. I just had the songs clipped, and I didn't use any fading in and fading out. So that's what took a lot of work, was bringing in into Audacity, making a month long soundtrack where every song had a fade in, a crossfade to it, because otherwise it was even more of an assault on the eyes and ears than it would have been.
I see that Wes just said that Sarah had to leave. Wes, is she able to come and talk to us for a few minutes before she has to head out? Is she able to come back? I'd love to hear from her about starting.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, they're having to go. So.
Oh, okay. We blew it.
Sorry about that. That's okay.
Well, I'm going to drop her.
We'll get her perspective on this before, you know, at a later time.
Okay. So. I'm putting in her address, the Zebra Print, 365 the Zebra Print. So she's, yeah, I really like what's happening over there. That's great. And so who wants to go next? Charles, you want to talk about, now Charles approaches it, you know, you do many different approaches. You want to talk about your approach, Charles?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I just kind of want to say in general, and as an encouragement to anybody looking to do this project, is you just start wherever you are. And one of the amazing things that happens is that that type of focus, things happen. Things change over time. I often kind of started this project to say, hey, I'm going to capture the world. But one of the things I found is now the world is capturing me. And kind of what I mean by that is that if you look in the world at the world in a certain way every day, the world tends to look back at you. Certainly one of the things I do with the work I've been doing is I use the iPhone. I sometimes also use a Nikon camera. But what I've been doing a lot or in different periods is I create dioramas and I photograph them. Sometimes I don't know if I'm doing a digital photograph, a digital collage. And in a lot of these, which I've really enjoyed doing. I set up, I shoot, and then I take down. And what I've really kind of learned with other artwork that I'm doing or other type of photography is that there's something really magical about playing with it. And oftentimes, my feeling is that if I'm doing it right, it's always showing me something new. It's always helping me learn. It's always allowing me to see the world in a different way. And so I hope that comes through in some of the work that I post. But the one thing I would warn anyone, once you get into it, it's addictive.
That is true, definitely. And so you really, what you've done a lot of is, because you're primarily a collage artist, is you've sort of done collage in 3D with your, almost telling stories where you cut out props and put them together. And then for a while you'll go off and do some landscape stuff. You jump all over the place.
Absolutely. And I think that for me, it's almost kind of like, you know, it's the old saying, follow the energy. Mm. And that's oftentimes what I do. And that's what I think really keeps it fresh. One of the things I've truly found, though, that by doing that, no matter what you're doing, there's learning from it. And there's growth, and there's ways of seeing things in a new way. And certainly with the artwork I do, or with the shows, or getting that out, it's really been impacted by doing a daily practice of the 365. I think that it's very easy to say that in 1 year's period of time, I've grown so much, not only as a person, but certainly what I'd like to say, you know, as an artist or a photographer. You know, it was Bob who originally said, hey, look at I'm doing this. There's Cheryl's doing this. Check this out. And he's the one who said, why don't you just start today? And I was like, great. I'm going to start today. I'm going to try this. And in a lot of ways, really haven't looked back. I think it's kind of like a lot of things in life. What we do every day is what we become. And with this practice, not only is it about doing a 365 site, but I think it's also about living a better life.
Yeah, I would have to definitely agree with that. I mean, it really helps you, you know, look again. And I'll be honest, I cheat a little, Dean. I don't take a photo every day. I post a photo every day. and I don't know if other people do that too, you know, because it just gets so busy, but I really miss the days that I don't take a photo and play around with it, you know, because I like to try different things with different apps. I'm an app addict, so, you know, I like to play with things. But Dean, you actually take a photo and post every day. That's a live photo, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, over the year, I know that I've missed, you know, I'll miss a handful of days, like 5 or 6 days a year. So, I mean, and I think that's where people have to give themselves a little bit of a slack. I mean, no one's gonna kick you out of the club or or whatever because you did it that way.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things I think that's really a powerful part of all this is that we are doing this as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I know my wife actually, was it last year or the year before? I think it was last year. She said, I'm going to do this too. And she lasted maybe 6 weeks and then kind of fizzled off after that. And, you know, she said, oh, I feel the pressure. And I'm saying, what are you feeling pressure for? Like, just if you don't take it, you don't take it. And so she's kind of picked back up again. And it's not a purist idea of a photo a day. But what encourages me is I have a number of ways, whether it's through RSS or on Flickr or on Twitter, seeing this community of people involved in this project and the inspiration that you get from somebody else in that, whether it's, wow, what a great picture in terms of a lovely composition, or, well, that's something odd, right? That says there's got to be a story behind that. And so you go and look and somebody's posted, the story behind it. And so, and then of course, just commenting back and forth on each other's photos, and it's really another powerful aspect that I don't know if it would work without it, for me anyways.
You know what I like about it is that there are so many of us doing this that I get to travel around the world a million times in a year. Uh-huh. Just by, you know, watching all of these 365 projects.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing every day. I mean, even just getting my daily email from the people I follow on Posteris, it's like having a great visit to a museum every single mm-hmm. day. And mm-hmm. it's so inspiring. And Charles, you and I have talked about that, you know, just like it's milk and honey. And he'll find an artist yeah. and say, you got to follow this person. And, you know, just passing back and forth. So, you know, I've never looked at so much photography in my life as I do now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point, because one of the things that happens, and I think it's a really powerful aspect when you're looking at so much, I really agree with that, is that you realize how many amazing people are out there photographing the world, and how many great visions exist. I'm looking at more photography than ever, and find that it's really inspiring.
I just put in a link of a neighbor who is an amazing photographer. And what I really have appreciated is the writing that he'll do with the photos. I have never done that. And he does a lot of photos about his family, and his family, you know, I've talked to them, and like his wife even says, oh, I didn't even know this was happening till Glenn had put this up and wrote about this. And both his wife and my wife said, when we were talking about it, is that the daily photo makes our families look really good. You know, you see the best of the best, you know, it's like, but you know, it's just wonderful what, you know, how he captures and writes about, what's happening. And he's a great photographer. Wes, can you jump in as a newcomer to the scene, and how's it going, and what feedback have you gotten, and what are your processes?
You bet. Well, it's just great to hear everybody's perspectives on it, and some of those quotations, you know, about we are what we do, and seeing more photography than I ever have before. One of the things that drew me to this is I guess I've been sort of talking a lot about talking with media in the last year, and how important it is for us to practice that, and thought that a 365 project, you know, would be a great way to just get into that routine and that habit of, you know, not only taking pictures, but also sharing them as well, and then learning more about some of the tools. So what's been transformational for me, and this is not just, it's been, you know, in the last couple of years since I've had an iPhone, but it's so great to always have a camera with me and always be able to take it out. And I know that my family makes fun of me a little bit. You know, I take pictures of my food and, you know, lots of things that people might not normally, you know, take pictures of. But it's fun to be having that challenge to have your photographer's eye, and I guess to have the opportunity, you know, to sort of exercise that photographer's eye at any time, not just when, you know, you've lugged out the big camera or whatever. I love photography. When I was in high school, I was, you know, took a class and was a volunteer photojournalist for the school, and you know, had my big old Nikon with my zoom lens, and I love that. But I can't overstate how transformative it is to be able to, you know, digital photography in general, unlimited pictures, no developing, no waiting, and then being able to share. And then having the conversation, so it's really fun. We had some iPhone and iTouch inheriting going on this holiday, since we had some members of the family get some new devices, and then others who had previously borrowed devices, you know, inherited some used ones, which they were quite excited to get. So Sarah, who's my
my 10-year-old has got my original iPhone, and she was pretty excited about, you know, this idea. And it's really fun to see, you know, the world through someone else's eyes. It's fun to not only do that with friends, but to do that with family. One of the touching things that happened, we had to put our oldest golden retriever to sleep over the holiday, actually on New Year's Eve. But unbeknownst to me, Sarah had taken a little photo of her sleeping in just a few days before. Anyway, that was just one thing where I was like, oh man, how awesome is that? You know, that she's able to capture that. Yeah. And I'm excited.
Are you doing it separately, or are you doing it as a family?
We're doing it separately. So
I guess I was wondering, it'd be neat, because I'm thinking of my own situation just as a possibility. If there's some way you could tag it and then almost make a collective, you could still have your individual, but a collective Fryer family photo of the day where you, you take the best of, okay, this is whose are we going to use? You know, yours or mine? Like, which one, you know,
right.
And have that both as a collective.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm just thinking in terms of which was the picture that best captured, you know, whatever. I think that would be kind of an idea if you could do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I love your idea of taking the photos and, you know, creating a movie and sort of visually experiencing the year again, because we don't really do enough of that. And this is a nice way to visually do that. So with tools, being able, I don't know if parse is the right word, but, you know, being able to get Sarah's feed and get mine and, you know, at some point then, you know, align those. I mean, there'll probably be ways to be able to do that. And it's like a running record, you know, it's what you've perceived that day or that week. And I'm like Bob, I mean, it's not every day I'm taking shots. I kind of am liking to have a lot of pictures on my phone so that I can, you know, go back to them. And I'm having so much fun with the different editors and being able to, you know, tweak them and play with different effects and be kind of artsy. And I sort of feel an obligation almost now that, oh, I can't just put that out regular, you know, I've got to tweak it. I got to massage it, you know.
And you know what's funny, now that I've up, and Dean, you were talking about another camera that I have, but I really do everything with my iPhone. And now having upgraded Wes, I almost feel like I'm backing off the app some because the camera is so good. That, you know, and it's such a leap from the 3GS that, wow, there's not a lot I want to do to this. You know, it already, you know, captured it.
Well, that's what happened to me. I mean, so one of the things that I struggled with when I first started in 2008 is just having a camera. So the first thing I did was I bought a belt case. So, I mean, I was like a holster with a gun, you know, I could just whip that thing
That's
out.
Exactly and, right. That's the exact right metaphor.
And, yeah. And I mean, people knew, oh, here comes the camera. It's coming out. but, you know, you had to have that with you all the time.
Yeah.
When I got my iPhone, and I got my iPhone in 2008, and it was just a 3G, you know, I could use it. And, you know, like a lot of people have said, the best camera is the camera is the one you have on.
Yeah,
there's that, and then when I got the iPhone 4 this year, of course, that, you know, I started using my I have a little Canon which takes pretty nice pictures. Started using it less and less, and then when I found HDR, oh my goodness, I kind of went berserk for about 10 days in a row where I started using HDR. Wow, that app, which just does a phenomenal, in particular photos. I overdid it, I know that, but just experimenting with that. And then it was funny because we had company that stayed over New Year's, and he wanted to take pictures of our house. We have a new house, and I hadn't really taken any good pictures of it. So he has a very nice Canon, Rebel, whatever it is, you know, a way better camera than I have. And he said, well, just grab my photos off my SD card. And just looking at this photos, I realized, wow, you can take, you know, the quality of those images. And that's why I'm saying, Bob, when you are using, while the iPhone takes wonderful pictures, those DSL cameras are pretty hard to beat. So yeah. Now my brain is thinking about maybe I need to my father-in-law, who's a fantastic photographer, keeps telling me you need to upgrade, and it's just the portability of it that it's never going to work as a photo of the day camera.
Right. Yeah, I could not do this without the iPhone. If my iPhone died, I would stop. I wouldn't be able, you know, I wouldn't have that camera with me. I would forget it all the time, you know. So, Dean, HDR Wow is the name of that? Okay.
Sorry, that's not what it's called. What am I talking about? That's the name of the blog post. That was the name of the blog post I wrote about
HDR Pro. Okay. Because I've tried a couple, and the one on the camera is not that great. So. Right.
That's the one to get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I took a picture, and I used it, my screensaver, my background, and I'll see if I can pull it up. It was like, okay, I don't even know how I could have ever possibly taken it. Because my father-in-law then said, okay, I'm going to try it. And he went inside Photoshop and was able to do it, but it took, you know, forever and a day.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble pasting, but this is the photo that I, in terms of showcasing that particular app, I'm having trouble pasting.
If you just drag the URL into the chat,
you want the, I have it right here, the app. I don't know if you're trying to get the picture.
No, I'm trying to get, yeah. I'm trying to get
the picture, okay.
My Flickr link in there, and I'm just not. I don't know why I can't copy and paste.
Well, it's because it's not you. It's
yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you got to drag. You got to drag it in.
How do you drag it in from another tab?
It's easier if you drag the tab off so that it floats as another window, and then go up to the top and click the link beside it. Hey, I've got to do a shout out to Marco Torres too, because.
Yeah.
Back in maybe October of 2009, he was up for Actum. And one of the things that's so cool about this project and watching other people work and then asking him, hey, how'd you do that? You know, is the creativity rubbing off, or at least, you know, you hope it is, the ideas and the tools. So Marco posts on his Flickr and then also on Facebook, you know, a lot of photos. And he's an amazing photographer, and he has an incredible, I think it's Nikon camera, but you know, he posted of his kids, I think, a nice little collage that he had done on his iPhone. And so I learned about Diptych, which is this little app that lets you, you know, bring in several different pictures and put them together. And I think I learned about Camera Bag there. So I am not, because I'm using the Tumblr blog, you know, doing a little narrative or description about how I'm doing these. And it probably would be good to write it down, because I probably won't remember, you know, for a lot of things, what filter I used or whatever. That's another just great aspect of this is, you know, not only getting the perspective on here's what another part of the world looks like now, here's what the world is looking like to somebody else, but, you know, being able to share the creative ways of looking at the world and then the tools for capturing it is a really, you know, it's a nice bonus. And that's what's so great about the interactive web. Someone posts on Facebook the picture, hey, what'd you use? Oh, that's what you, how cool, you know, and then run off and use that the next time you have a chance. So
yeah and somebody was mentioning the digital side of it. I mean, that has completely changed everything. Charles, I'm sure you remember back in our early days, Charles and I have known each other a long time. Before we had a car, we would take the bus all the way to the university, UNH, and sign out studio time for black and white film. Remember, Charles?
Absolutely, yeah. Remember.
And we would spend all day on one photo.
Film, yeah. Splice it, and you know, and all of that stuff.
And then ride back on the bus, totally, you know, ready to get sick from all the chemicals we had breathed for hours, and you know, get home and look at the photos and go, oh, this is all just lousy, you know. And my motto is, if you can take 1,000 shots, there's got to be one good one in there. You know, you're gonna hit it with the more you take. So it really has opened it up. I wanted to talk a little bit about a friend that I invited to the show tonight and wasn't able to come because she's at a wake. But Bridget Rodding, who is a friend of mine, has an unusual take on how she's done it, and she just finished on New Year's Day. And she decided to take a picture of this one tree every day for a year. And what really stood out for me with Bridget's blog, and I'm going to put in the link right now, is that she called it Memories in Gratitude. And she put three things she was grateful for every day. And, you know, that really impressed me. And I talked to her the other day saying, that must be the hardest part. And she said it was. And actually, my wife and I have just started our project, on New Year's Day. And we are starting a co-blog where we write to each other in the same post three things we're grateful for, because we were inspired by Bridget. Bridget has an incredible reflection about what this did for her, meant to her, how she got started. And I'm going to throw that into the chat room right now, too. And I can either read it or you can read it on your own, but it's really very powerful. And, you know, so she's done. She doesn't want to take that tree anymore, but mm-hmm. she's deciding what to do next. And one thing she's going to do is make a book out of this. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, at the beginning, she didn't want to go public with it at all. She wanted to keep it just to herself. But a bunch of people encouraged her to do that. And one of the quotes in her reflection is, you know, her mom just left a comment the other day saying, "I'm going to really miss these photos. I've gotten to know you so much better, you know, from seeing these daily photos and the things you're grateful for." And I mean, that's a great project for a classroom, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you end the day with, "All right, we need three things that we're grateful for." And she talks about in the letter, like, there were some days where she was just frustrated or angry or something and would just stare at that screen and, you know, have to come up with those three things. And, you know, it changes your mind. It changes mm-hmm. your mindset. You really are starting to look at things you're grateful for. And I've just done it. This is my sixth day and I'm really enjoying that. We've kind of got it hidden. We haven't really made it public, but I'm sure it'll, you know, at some point be shared, my wife's and mine. But definitely check it out. And what she did with this tree is beautiful.
It is.
The only disappointment I had is I always try to encourage her to climb the tree and get a shot from that perspective, but she said her health care wasn't good enough for that. So, but they're really lovely.
The theme is definitely a neat thing to be able to do, and I've tried to pick something personal to sort of challenge myself. Like Liz said, this year was the song, and the year before I tried to every photo I wanted to have a one-word title for that photo and not repeat it throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are just things to sort of keep it fresh, keep it going, but I love these ideas of the thankfulness. I think having a theme or a bit of a focus can be helpful, but I just wanted to sort of piggyback on Wes had sort of mentioned this earlier as his reason for getting involved, the fact that, well, Wes does such a wonderful job, and I mean, talking about digital storytelling, it's kind of his thing, and it's definitely something that I'm, you know, advocating and talking about a lot too, so I just feel like it's really such an important thing to model, right? And I do it from not for that reason, but it's been so powerful for me. And when I'm working with teachers and students talking about visual literacy and all these things, I'm able to take in the fact that I do this every day. And it brings out so many more opportunities for conversation and discussion than, you know, me telling about it. Just doing it, I think, is such a big thing for me.
And I think that we are just not used to media expression in the way that we can do it today. And it's not like everybody's going to want to be a blogger and everyone's going to be a photographer or a 365 photo person. But I think that, you know, there's so much fear that surrounds sharing. And, you know, Dean did such a great job on his K-12 online presentation. Dean, how would you contrast the hours spent on your 365 with music to your K-12 online pre-conference?
Probably. I mean, I calculated the photo a day thing was about a 24-hour thing, and probably the K-12 thing was about 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But okay. But the big thing about this, though, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's nuts when you look
Dean
at it.
Dean likes video projects. Yeah.
Well, I get into them and then I realize, holy smokes, this is a lot of work. But the thing about, you know, when you say not everybody's going to be a blogger, and I agree with that, because writing's really hard. Mm-hmm. And it's, but everyone takes a picture.
Yeah.
Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody That's has right. a camera. That's and right. it's so important that we begin to think critically about, I mean, and again, you can have this conversation about digital photography, and those of you, Charles and Bobby, talk about sort of the day before. I mean, you know, obviously every photo sort of had to be well-crafted and thought out, and now, of course, it snaps, snaps, snaps. I take hundreds of photos, and then I look at the end. There's still something powerful about actually thinking before you press click around the whole composition thing, and I guess part of it is as everybody's suggested in their way, is this mindful approach to photography, that you look at something and you see the beauty in it, you see the wonder, and you say, I want to capture that. Or, I mean, sometimes it happens after the fact and you realize, well, I've captured something. But I think it's important that we move beyond the fact that we've simply, you know, have the capping. If we don't look at them and share them in some way, I don't see how they're particularly important.
And that's what I was going to say about the sharing is, the stakes are lower when you're just sharing a picture. And I put this in the chat too, but you know, I love that idea, Dean, of just the one word title, or I think I'm trying to go for two or three words, you know, but just really concise. But the stakes are so much lower. You're not getting a grade on this, but I think we need to find and share transformative experiences with technology, and probably everyone who's on this call can think of different times when it's been a real aha, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who haven't shared their voice or their view or their perspective, and I think the Photo 365 is a less demanding, and maybe I don't know, it's just not as scary as perhaps some other things that we could think about sharing. And I'm not saying that because I think it is scary to share. It's online. I mean, there's things to be concerned about. But anyway, Mitch Resnick talks about scratch, and I love this, that it's a low bar, high ceiling. Well, 365 photos is that way too, right? Low bar. I mean, you got a camera, you got a cell phone, you can take it. But, oh, wow. I mean, if you look at what Bob has done with his, you know, he's got three photo blogs on the art.bobsprankle.com. Oh my gosh, there's, you know, so much artistic depth and creativity and you know, meaning and emotion and all these things that are possible through this kind of a project. So but I love the fact that it's a low bar of entry, or if that's the right way of saying it.
Flickr in general is such a great place because there's a group for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't matter. I mean you could take anybody off the street and you could find a photo group in Flickr and say, you would be interested in this. It doesn't matter who.
Yeah.
I refer to as the one I started a year or two ago, a couple years ago, was on things chewed by your dogs. Well, there's 14 of us to take photos of things our dog chews up. Now, fortunately, my dog's grown out of that stage, but you know, that was, it was almost done as a sort of a, you know, proof of concept, the fact that you could find people that would join that and say, hey, I want to be part of that.
Dude, and Charles, you turned me on to one like that about cakes. Can you explain that one real quick?
About the cakes? Or,
yeah.
Yeah. There was a site that called Cake Rex, and I think they started posting, and now they're coming out with a book or two. It's really taken off for them, and very amusing site to look at because they have cake racks, and as every holiday comes by or every birthday, they have new ones, and it's so a like misspelling very, very or funny site. I think they've gone from a funny idea to, at least for them, some real commerce. I think they're hoping to be the next big thing, the more I follow them. But a very, very interesting to kind of watch something like that grow. You know, one quick thing I just want to say, you know, I work as a full-time psychotherapist, and one of the things that I certainly do with certain clients is I've actually had some of them begin their own 365 projects.
Wow.
Some do not post. Some bring them into therapy. Some share them with family and friends or do protected ones. And other people have actually started blogs. And, you know, one of the things that's been really amazing with that work is that for some people, quote unquote, they're doing a therapy of sorts. And for some younger people, they're actually gaining what I would call their power back by being able to put out their vision of the world for everybody to see. So it's been very powerful to work with people since I started this. And, you know, and again, it's a suggestion and say, hey, you've got the camera if this is something you want to do. And oftentimes people will come back and absolutely just blow me away by what they've created by their own motivation. So,
well, that's a great testimony.
And you
well,
know,
I mean,
oh, go ahead, Dean.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, the art, the therapy around it. I mean, there's so many benefits, and that's a great story, Charles. You know, to think about expression, right? And I mean, it's just sort of one that snuck up on us, right? I mean, and again, mm-hmm. this is why I go back to the education part of it. I mean, if we aren't teaching our students about these kinds of things, I mean, it's akin to saying, well, we're not going to teach writing this year, you know. Yeah. We just don't have time for it. And I mean, I know that probably for some people that sounds a little harsh and saying, well, you're not about to equate photography with writing. And you know what? I think I am. I think I'm saying that in terms of the way we tell stories today, if it's not on par with it, it's really, really close. And so for us to, I mean, you know, just to look at the power of that story that Charles is telling, I think that just gives credence to the fact that, boy, we got to be doing a better job of helping people tell their stories that they see every day.
Which is a really good lead-in for me, because this is the third year I'm involved with Electronic Village Online, which is part of the whole TESOL projects. And this is digital storytelling, and it's for educators. And I think Dean said it, that at Flickr there is a group for everyone. And we use a lot of the Flickr tools that are, you know, the groups that are there. So it could be the six-word story. It could be taking six pictures to tell a story, or three pictures to tell a story, or just the whole Flickr group and the way that people can collaborate. Mr. Woodson's talking about how he's gained so many people from being involved in the 365-day photo project. So I really encourage anybody. It's kind of like the K-12 online, but it's been around since 1999. The EVO sessions, Electronic Village Online sessions, are starting up on Monday next week. And there's everything, digital storytelling, PLEs and PLNs for lifelong learning, creating vocabulary activities, multiliteracies for social networking, mentoring for the TESOL conference that they have coming up, podcasts for EFL and ESL classrooms. So just a great thing. And I co-moderate the digital storytelling with folks from Brazil, Arizona, Dennis Oliver, the Ukraine, Moldova, up in Slovenia. So I started with the Webheads in 2006, and Vance Stevens, who's like the godfather for Electronic Village Online, has a great quote where he says that so many people have said that they credit getting involved with Electronic Village Online as being the change agent and the approach to their personal and lifelong learning autonomy. So That's my shout out to Electronic Village Online and digital storytelling.
And that is a great tie-in because with photos, you know, like the EVO group, how supportive all those groups are. Mm-hmm. And again, on Flickr, you'll find the same thing. I cannot believe the people. I feel like I'm not keeping up my end of giving enough comments because I've been so busy. But I can't believe the people that keep giving me these comments and support. There's two people, I think they're maybe married or something. I can tell they're in Hungary. And they leave me a comment on almost everything I post. And it's just amazing, the support of these people that you haven't even met, you know. And so, yes, that's a great way to start. And, mm-hmm. and the Images group is so supportive.
Yeah, in 3 days, we've had 138 people sign up. And it's just amazing that we don't start our class until next Monday. But the comments that I was reading, the comments I read tonight, people are just, they're wowed. We haven't started the class yet, but just getting involved has been so supportive for them and so exciting for them. They're going to stick around.
I'd like to go back to what Dean was saying, where this is a literacy that has to be taught. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's so simple to have a camera, a cheap camera even, in the classroom, and that could be a student's job of, you have to capture the picture today that will express to the parents, to the community, to the world, what our day was like. And that student could take a bunch of photos throughout the day and then choose that one. I mean, it really is a way that we talk to each other. And it's a great diary. For me, it was very humbling to have finished my first year and go back and look at the Flickr site and see all 365 photos, these tiny little icons of them, and go, wow, that's a year, you know? Mm-hmm. And I could look at each one and remember what was going on in my life, you know, at that time. You know, it's a great way to record what's happening, and we do need to teach our students how to speak in that language as well.
I see Wes has started the Geek of the Week.
not wanting to push us along. I was just dropping my link in early.
I was just looking for, and I apologize because I don't think I'm going to find it. I don't even know why I can't find it. But I came across the first, who I think was the first person who ever did this photo of the day thing back in the late 70s and 80s. This is before digital.
Mm.
And it was quite, I'm just upset the fact that I can't, I'm going to keep looking here, but it was a guy, and he was dying of cancer. And it was a powerful, they found all these videos and, videos, they found these photos and they put it together in a collection, and they were, I think it was a fellow from New York. And it really, I found it after I started the project anyways, and was just sort of, oh, here it is. I've got it. Have it. And it's just a great story. So I'd encourage people to have a look at that and read the story as sort of a, his name is Jamie Livingston.
Hmm.
His name. And again, I'm really, I can't figure out how to do this link thing.
Do you have two windows open?
Okay, I do now. I'm using Chrome. I've got two windows.
Okay. And then I just drag right
when at I the dragged the link out. Into it opened that page up when I tried to drag the link into the chat box.
Oh, you're in, all right. It may be your browser then.
Just search,
here's the Wikipedia link for Jamie.
Okay, right, that'll there, be good so, enough. Yeah. That'll get you started. Okay. I blogged about him too, but thinking about him doing this pre-digital times is, you know, having to process everything is pretty amazing. But there's some wonderful, touching stories in there. But there's one where he proposes to his girlfriend, and she knows that he's dying and stuff. So, anyways, but just thought I'd throw that as a background piece in there. Neat.
A lot of students are reporting, and this is at the elementary level, K to four. They just got the new iPod. upon touch, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots. And so they have cameras. So, you know, we now have, I mean, Christmas just happened, and now there are all these cameras out there for kids that don't even have a cell phone yet. And they're able to bring, you know, I mean, hopefully they're able to bring these into school if schools allow them and you know, take those photos. You know, they could totally start these projects very easily.
Well, are we ready for Geek of the Week? Because we have about 4 minutes left, and we kind of have to stick to our time tonight because Doug Symington is going to be showing up to webcast as EdTech Brainstorm tonight. So,
yeah, that sounds great. And I'm just realizing I haven't put your link in yet, Cheryl. So I'm sorry about that. I'm putting in your new year. And yes. Here comes last year's.
Okay. And while you're queuing that up, I'm going to just talk about, yeah, Sheila, yes, ETBS. Doug Symington is around, coming right up. He's waiting in the wings. BigHugeLabs.com has just started where I saw a promotion for educators, teachers to have a free account for their classroom. So kudos to them. Anybody can sign up. It doesn't take you very long at all. If you already have an account at BigHugeLabs, it's just a matter of a couple days before you hear from them. And if you don't know Big Huge Labs, it's part of the whole Flickr family, and they do some incredible things. The favorite thing I found last week was their motivational posters.
Yeah, those are great.
Mm-hmm. And Wes put his Geek of the Week in already. Dean, if you have,
And Wes,
you're Jamie Livingston.
Do you want
to? Basically, just a link on Appalicious to a curated list of iPhone apps for editing. So, Camera Bag, Color Splash, FX Studio. There's a bunch of them. So, those are great tools, and Appalicious is a great way to be able to share apps in that kind of way. So, I mean, I'm eager to try the Pro HDR because I've just been relying on the standard HDR and have been loving that. So if it gets better than that, then that sounds good to me.
No, but I will. I don't have a Geek of the Week, but I'm going to try to address Wes's question. He asked a way of auto-posting to my photo Twitter account. I don't post to it. What I did, I got it from Tim Lauer, so I'd have to think back if I do it. But basically, I just created a Twitter account that subscribes to my RSS feed of my photo contacts. So it's just another way that inside. So I subscribe to that Twitter account, so I don't do anything to it. It just auto posts. So all of a sudden, I'll see, oh, Bob Sprankle posted a photo, and it'll just come up in my own Twitter feed.
Which is why I wanted to say that, Dean. That is so wild because your Twitter post usually Twitters out my photo before I ever posted. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't, and again, it was something that the reason I did that is because when I got my iPad and was using Flipboard, I just loved how Flipboard was such a beautiful way of looking at content. And that's actually when Tim Lauer started using, because there was no way to do that really well. So he created an account. So instead of subscribing to Flickr, he had, I think you can now actually, they just changed that in Flipboard. You can subscribe to Flickr photos. Couldn't before. So he had to subscribe to a Twitter account that contained the Flickr photos. So anyways, I can't remember exactly how I did it, but it was just after reading a little bit and figuring out how to do that. But it's just kind of a nice way. Again, I see these photos in all kinds of ways because I'll find them in my Google Reader too. So they come across my path a number of ways. And I mean, I don't look at everybody's photo every day, but You know, it's amazing how just having them there and knowing that, oh, if I got a second or two, I'll just click through my contacts and look and say, oh, Bob's done a nice photo here, or, you know, or whomever. So I, mm-hmm. I like that, just having that in my mind's eye in a number of spaces.
Nice. That's great.
Bob, did you do your Geek of the Week?
Yes, I did. Well, no, I haven't done it yet. okay. I'll do it. I might need links from people because I just lost my chat room and I'm trying to get the links. This is Stephanie Roberts. She's a filmmaker and a photographer. Has written a couple books with some other photographers and has been very supportive of my work. And I think her work's amazing, so I'm putting her in there. It's Little Purple Cow iPhonography, and she does some really amazing stuff. So that's my share.
Nice.
Right there, yeah. Charles, you got a link for us?
I
just posted it.
Okay.
It's actually a little nepotism. it's my wife, and she had originally done a 365 site and then found that she wanted to kind of do some singles and series, and there's beautiful stuff with the iPhone, and so I posted that. It's Elizabeth Farrell at posteris.com.
Nice. And they are striking photos. Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, anything else? Anybody have one last word before we start the wrap-up?
Just do it.
Do it.
That's right.
Do it. Okay. If I can only find that. There it is. Well, we just want to thank everybody for starting out the new year with us. This is Seedlings at edtechtalk.com, and we thank the good folks at edtechtalk.com and worldbridges.com for allowing educators to have the web, the airwaves each night as we share our information with you, because it's all about the conversation. Next week, Seedlings will be here, and we have a guest, Mike Muir, and he is going to be talking about the virtual project-based learning online project that he has in the state of Maine and how it extends elsewhere. So join us for Mike Muir and his virtual problem-based learning. I think that's it, right, Bob? I got everybody in there. Yes. So I just want to have our guests say one last goodbye, and then I'm going to stop the broadcast, and we'll be able to say goodbye to everybody again. So, say goodnight, everyone.
Good night from Oklahoma.
From Canada, too. Good night.
South Berwick, Maine.
Yeah, South Berwick. We got the most people tonight. Thanks so much. This has been a great show, and I hope it inspires a lot of people, because it really is a lot of fun. And the kids, you know, when I share it with kids, they just love it. You know, it really fits well into a classroom.
Well, having that constructive outlet for not only creative energy, but that digital device in everybody's hand, that's a good thing. So,
yeah.
All right. And stick around so you can listen to the EdTech Brainstorm with Doug Symington from Western Canada. All right. Good night, everybody. And thanks to the chat room. You really
Thank
make
you.
Our show.
Yeah.
See
and
ya.
You guys stay on the line for a moment, and then we can say goodbye. Good night.